Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, sports fans, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to the NBA and NHL playoffs. Get the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams, and you can get the latest odds, lines, including the latest matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. You know, here on the ML Sports Platter, I like to cover a wide range of topics. Even during your team's offseason, there's always a story to break, right? Including free agent signings, coaching changes, draft picks, and more. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you'll know I'm a proud Bonnie. St. Bonaventure University gives its students a solid foundation and has trained many journalists that you know and love from ESPN and other leading media organizations across the globe. Their online Master of Arts in Sports Journalism builds podcasting, interviewing, and research skills needed in a changing media landscape right now. Students learn how to follow high professional standards as they tell nuanced stories about the sports we love. You don't need writing or broadcasting experience to start the program, just simply a passion for the profession. There's no application fee or graduate exam scores to apply, and you can complete the program in less than 2 years. Yes, less than 2 years. Get in touch with an enrollment advisor today at sbujournalism.com to learn how you can become a sports journalist and a Bonnie. That's sbujournalism.com. SBUjournalism.com. ML Sports Platter back with you, brought to you by Stanley Law Offices, Burn Dairy, and our good friends over at Camilla's Golf Club. Grab your membership today to Camilla's Golf Club. I bring in a good friend of mine and one of the best in the business, the voice of the Baltimore Orioles, and you can follow him all over the social platforms, does an amazing job everywhere, and of course, ESPN as well. I've slipped him some white papers in my day, and he's also a halftime brownie guy, but don't tell anybody. Kevin Brown, how are you, buddy?
Halftime brownie guy. I'm a full-time brownie guy. I'm a pregame brownie guy. Mid-game, all moments of the game, brownie guy.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you there as well. But I do remember specifically, I need a brownie at halftime for your little sugar push.
Jackson, that's right.
Jackson Holliday, how good is this guy?
As good as any 20-year-old you're going to see, I think. It's funny. I saw Buster Olney tweet retweet himself from 2013 saying Matt Holliday's kid is going to be an all-star. Yeah. So my math serves me right. That means Jackson would have been 9 years old at the time. And here we are 11 years later. He's 20. He's reportedly coming to the big leagues. He's got everything you want in a 20-year-old baseball player. And I think his approach stands out as much as anything. Fielding, yes. Speed, yes. Baseball IQ, absolutely. Growing up in what is one of the best baseball families in the country, because Jackson's younger brother, Ethan, is going to be a star as well, it appears. And, of course, his dad, Matt, is one of the great hitters of his era. But yeah, just Jackson's approach, his two-strike approach, his ability to lay off tough pitches, a lot of walks in the minor leagues, a lot of long at-bats. This is kind of the best version of the hitter that the Orioles have prioritized the last few years, with Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Colton Cowser, guys that take close pitches, guys that work the count. And he can, I think, hit probably 25 home runs within a couple of years. You know, he'll bulk up a little bit, but I mean, you look at where he was at 18 and where he is at 20, he's already put in so much work and he's so much stronger already. And 20 years old, he is not done maturing. He is not done filling out. So the nice thing about this is when Adley Rutschman came up, it felt like it was the weight of the world on his shoulders, right? The Orioles had a losing record at the time. And Adley Rutschman was the first pick in the Mike Elias regime. Well, now 2 years later, Jackson Holliday comes up and he might hit ninth. He might hit eighth. So he doesn't have to carry the load. He doesn't have an overwhelming bird. He has to perform. But he has to just be one of nine guys in the lineup every day. And I think it's a pretty good spot for him to be able to succeed.
So recently, and you've been obviously with the Orioles for a bit here, there's new everything. I mean, there's all these new, great, awesome young players, high picks. You know, you mentioned Rutschman. You've got a lot of other ones there, obviously, as well. Great players, Henderson and Mountcastle and Santander. I love how you say that on the air. You know, you get Corbin Burns. You have new ownership. Now there's Jackson Holliday. You already have Camden Yards. You already have the tradition. You've got the great uniforms, the trademark AL franchise. Now they're really good. I mean, they were really good last year, and they're maybe even better this year, and you added Corbin Burns. You're there every day. You're in it. You call every game. Baseball, I think, is really special compared to the other sports because you have a game basically every day, and every day there's a story. But for me, the big story for Baltimore is they're really good, and it's awesome to see because all of those things that we knew are coming back and the new stuff is going with it. What's it been like to have it all together now and they're really, really, really good?
I mean, this is my sixth year here, and there's never been the buzz in town that there's been this year. It's really not even been close. You know, last year was one of those truly magical, maybe once in a lifetime years to win 101 games in the American League East, to win 18 more games than the year before, to go from, you know, 100 losses to 100 wins in 2 years, never been done in the history of the sport. Now there are expectations. Now there's a buzz. You know, the town probably still buzzing from the great season the Ravens had, though that ended in the AFC Championship. I mean, you had a great baseball year. You had a great football year. Now there's another exciting baseball season with Corbin Burns. Now you have the number one prospect in baseball coming up. It's special. Look, the sport is better when certain franchises are great. And I think the sport is better when the Orioles are great because Camden Yards is a cathedral of baseball. It gets really loud. It has such passion behind it. This is not like an original 1900s franchise, but 1954, there's great history here. There's tradition. Jim Palmer's still around doing half the games with me. Cal Ripken Jr. is around now. He's part of the new ownership group. So there's a tie to the past. There's a fan base that is filled with people who've been rooting for the Orioles since 1954. And it's just different. It's different when the Orioles are good and when Camden Yards is full and when people care. It's an East Coast franchise. I think that does matter a little bit nationally, whether it should or not. I think it's easier for the game to be better when teams that are on at 7 o'clock are good compared to necessarily teams that aren't at 10 o'clock. I don't mean that to be an East Coast bias. I think that's just a national reality. The Orioles are going to be on Fox at least four times this year. We're going to be on Apple TV Plus three times in the first half. We're probably going to be on Sunday Night Baseball a handful of times. I don't know the last time the Orioles had this much national television coverage, but they are a commodity. And I think the game is better when the Orioles are a commodity. Plus, you know, the Orioles have embraced to an extent this kind of underdog mentality, right? The American League East is typically about the high-powered teams, the Yankees and the Red Sox. I think the Orioles are a team that people can get behind and not feel guilty about rooting for as a second or a third team. I mean, I have so many friends and family members that obviously didn't root for the Orioles or not from Baltimore until I got the job, but people watch a game or two and they kind of get hooked. There's an infectious personality and energy on this roster. And I just think they're an easy team for people to fall in love with.
Well, I'll tell you right now, from my perspective, if I had to interject my fandom into it, I despise the Boston Red Sox. The Blue Jays are super annoying because they haven't done anything yet. And they got Vlad Guerrero and all the attitude and all that sort of stuff. You got the Rays, who I respect, but I get sick of hearing about them. And, you know, the Orioles, they're a half hour from where my sister lives. I got immense respect for the players of the past. I've interviewed Cal. I just think there's been class across the board. Brooks Robinson, Cal Ripken, Jim Palmer, those kind of guys. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any classier than those people in baseball history. The ballpark's just awesome. The fans are great. I talk to a lot of them all the time when I go down there. And I always look at the AL East and I'm like, Orioles won? Okay. As long as it's not the Red Sox, anybody but the rest of them, I'm cool with that. So I don't know. There is a lot to that. And by the way, speaking of the feeling of the Orioles, like you said, I was down there last April. I didn't go to the home opener. They had the Yankees that day, and I was with my sister, and we were, you know, with all of our kids and everything. And there was a different even home opener. You know how it is, KB. Home openers sell out no matter what. It's opening day. It's a holiday, blah, blah, blah. But there was an extra oomph that day even. You could feel it. Even just opening day, people kind of had this idea that, man, we might be really good really soon. So I wanted to share that with you as well. Yeah. Corbin Burnes, when he, you know, they got Corbin Burnes. You mentioned the big market AL East teams and all the rest. But let's be honest. I mean, the Orioles got Corbin Burnes. That's as big an acquisition as anything. When you see him pitch, the difference that he makes, is there something that stands out? Is it his presence on the mound? Is it his mix-up of the pitches? Is it how he's blended in already with the club? What have you seen above all the rest that says, whoa, this guy can really carry a rotation and could help him get past even where they got to last year?
I think presence is a good one. He has a confidence to him. He has a calmness to him on the mound. You know, yesterday he didn't strike out a batter until the fourth inning, and then he struck out, I believe it was six of the final 10 in the game. And he said he took about 30 pitches to figure out what was working and what wasn't. And in those 30 pitches, he gave up a run on two hits, and then the rest of the game he gave up no runs on no hits. And he threw seven innings and he didn't allow a hit from the first inning on. But I go back to the start before that, the second start of the year. And opening day, he strikes out 11 Angels. He looks like a stud. The second start of the year is the one for me because he gives up nine hits to Kansas City. He only strikes out three. That's tied for a career low at a start. And he still goes 5 2/3 and gives up two runs. So it was a quote-unquote off start, and he went 5 2/3 and gave up two runs. Now, most starting pitchers, when they have a bad day, could be four innings, six runs. When Corbin Burnes isn't getting swings and misses, when he isn't pitching with that same bite, he still gives you nearly a quote-unquote quality start in what in reality was a start of actual quality. So his floor is so much higher is what I've realized. And when he's not got his best stuff or his best command, it's the ability to work through it quickly, to find answers quickly, right, to not give up four hits in a row before you figure out what's working. His ability to make adjustments on the fly is really impressive. And I have to keep reminding myself, and I do, that this is uncommon. And barring good health, and I hope he'll make 30 starts this year and be healthy. If that's the case, how lucky am I? How lucky are we in Baltimore that we get to watch Corbin Burnes for 30-plus starts? It is uncommon. It is a celebration every time he takes the mound. This guy really is what a frontline starter looks like. He walked off the mound against the Angels and was doing the game with Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer, and we said, yeah, this is it. This is what an ace looks like.
Yeah, and the tilting of the power, too. I mean, I thought the Brewers with him, they were the favorites in the Central because it was wide open in the NL. Now he's gone, and it becomes even more of kind of like a who knows what, and you got to probably play 130 games to figure out the division. You get Corbin Burnes over to the Orioles. I had the Orioles winning the division anyway. Now they get Corbin Burnes, and I'm going, can they fly the flag? I mean, the real flag. Can they fly the pennant? I mean, that's kind of how I looked at it. He stays healthy, and the Orioles stay healthy. This team, I mean, why can't they go and win it all? And I think last year, sometimes you learn how to lose before you learn how to win, and that could be the case with this young group. Pretty special indeed. I got one more for you. We're recording this. It'll air in a couple of days, obviously, but you're in Boston right now. The sports fans there, you know, enjoy that for a couple of days. Okay. But Fenway Park, I can't ignore it. I can't ignore how special the place is. There are certain places in sports. I have walked on the grounds of Oak Hill. I've been at the old Yankee Stadium, Wrigley, Fenway. I've been to Lambeau. You've been a million places, probably a lot more than I have. Do you feel different in these kind of places? Hell, Camden Yards at this point is probably like that as well, right? Do you feel different as a sports fan, how you started, and as a sports professional and broadcaster now? Is there a different kind of, whew, I'm here, and your body kind of feels different at a Fenway Park?
Every time. This is my favorite visiting park. And I don't even think it's particularly close. I mean, Camden Yards will be a different kind of special for me because it's my home park. And it's the first place I really got to do Major League Baseball for a team I was working for.
Yeah.
And it is.
And if they win at all, that could change.
Sure, sure. I mean, it is a spectacular park. Camden Yards as the top park is not a controversial opinion here, but yeah, Fenway is different than everything else. Wrigley has some of that magic, but there's something more special about Fenway to me. It's just oozing with tradition and history. Every inch of this ballpark, you can't not feel different. I mean, if you care about the sport, if you love the sport in the way I do, if you grew up reading about the sport and watching the sport and just living the history of it, you have to just feel overwhelmed. It is special. It's different. It's unique. It's intense. It's always full. Man, it's funny growing up in New York. I mean, I grew up a Yankee fan, and same thing. When you're a Yankee fan, you hate the Red Sox more than anything else. You almost hate the Red Sox more than you love the Yankees sometimes. But you can't deny Fenway Park, whether you hate it or love it. If you're a Yankee fan right now, go to Fenway Park, you'll still be overwhelmed. It's the special place to me in the league. And there are a lot of wonderful stadiums and parks with great character, and Wrigley's one of them, and you know, San Francisco and Pittsburgh and Minnesota, some of the quote unquote newer parks, though some of them are a couple of decades old, are really special. But Fenway, I think, is the one. It's one of one among visiting ballparks for me. And if anybody hasn't been to Fenway yet, go sit anywhere. Go sit in the back of the bleachers. Go sit behind a pole. You know, go just get there early and just wander around the park. Yeah. Take it all in. It really is one of those truly special places, not just in baseball, but in all the sports.
Yeah, last time I was there was Derek Jeter's final game, and he got that little dribbler up the first baseline, and that was it for number two. And classy by the Red Sox to bring out all the Boston sports legends and have that huge ceremony there, and I'll never forget that. It was a great day for sure. Kevin Brown doing an awesome job as always, ESPN and Orioles broadcaster. Go get him on Twitter, X, whatever they're calling it now. The biggest Oasis fan I know for sure, at Kevin N. Brown. And you're doing a great job, my man. I really love seeing you at the Dome over hoop season. And hopefully I can catch up with you real soon here in the coming weeks, months, and all the rest. Enjoy the rest of the Orioles season, my friend. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you, Mike. I always appreciate it.
Businesses are targeted by cyber criminals every day. Data breaches happen even in the most protected environments. Cyber insurance from CH protects your company from data loss, litigation, and other penalties. CH Insurance helps businesses comply with electronic data regulation in losses you may suffer in cyber attacks. Trust the CH team to protect your business from hackers. CH Insurance, in your corner, every day, every way.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.